This is Neil Whiteside.
And it's a great pleasure to welcome my second guest into the studio this afternoon. She is business psychologist and jargon disentangler. Also, someone who's done a TED Talk. I think you're the first person I've met who's done a TED Talk. Is Helen Morris-Brown. Very good afternoon to you, Helen.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
How do you even do that? How do you wind up doing a TED Talk? Tell us about yourself and how you've and your path to here.
Well, I don't think you want the whole story. It's a varied career, I have to say. But 4 or 5 years ago, having worked in businesses and helping people perform better and sometimes be happier at their job, I decided to talk about it in conferences. And I was invited to talk at a conference, and it sort of escalated from there. And then I thought, actually, this is what I could be doing full time rather than going in and working with businesses directly and speaking to the people about management courses, leadership training and business psychology at its, you know, root. Mm. I thought, well, I could possibly do conferences and speeches most of the time, as well as consulting and a few sort of coaching clients. And so that's what I decided to do. And when you do that, it's quite difficult to get yourself known as a speaker.
Right, I can imagine.
And with the rise of TED Talks, it's a good way to get a free video.
So tell us exactly, just for those who don't know them, what is a TED Talk? You know, I've never heard a TED Talk.
TED started in America. It stands for Technology, Education and Design, and it's an online forum for business talks or talks about anything that anyone wants to talk about. And there's a series of privately run events called TEDx, which are much more accessible for people like me to get a speaking gig at. And I saw a few that were running in 2015 and chose a subject that was linked to what I was doing and wrote to them, and they said, send us a tape, send us an audition tape, and we'll interview you and see whether you fit into the lineup. So I did, and that was a while ago now. And on the back of that, I got more speaking gigs. And then I realised over the last 2 or 3 years that when I tell people what I do for a job, they say, oh, we could do with that, or I would really like to hear that subject, because it's not just one subject I talk about. And often I tailor it to the organisations who invite me to come in and talk to them. They say, I want you to talk about team development or how to win, how to set goals, how to get on with people. So quite often it doesn't fit with the things that I really want to talk about. Right. I have to fit to their agenda. But with this one, it was a subject that I thought was going to appeal to most people, which is about our digital behaviour. And so I wrote it specifically for TEDx. And it was quite an academic title, which was The Psychology of Communication in the 21st Century.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is.
which is ideal for a TED audience.
Right.
But actually, for the public, that's not going to be that appealing. And for a TED Talk, you can only speak for 18 minutes.
Oh. And I'm guessing this is an open-ended book at the moment, because we're kind of working it out on the hoof, aren't we? Because the technology is changing. Just as we're getting used to one thing, along comes the next.
That's right, Neil. We are learning as we go.
Yeah.
And that's what people are discovering when they engage in social media and they get involved in it. They're finding it emotionally upsetting, emotionally rewarding. There's all sorts of emotions linked to it. Yeah. And in some instances, it can be life-changing. It can wreck careers. It can wreck personalities. You know, it's a huge thing that we need to get right if we choose to engage with it and then choose to engage with it well.
Yeah, I mean, and for some people, and for so many people nowadays, they seem to think that it's an instant route to fame. It's not just the likes of you and I doing social media, wandering around on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram with your mates. But for some people, I'm going to be an influencer. Oh, people are going to, I'm going to have followers. And they find that they do have a few followers, and then it all drops off a cliff, and suddenly they're kind of back beyond where they even started. They're back further down the road.
Yeah.
So where did you even start with this? Where are we at? What's your take on it then with us and how we're getting on with these things, which do seem to be just taking over our lives?
Well, I'm a psychologist, so everything I talk about is linked to human behaviour and the pros and cons of the things we do in everyday life. So the talk is a lot about the mistakes we make and why we make them. And sometimes they're unconscious. You know, we're not aware of the way we behave or why we do it. And when I've done this talk publicly within organisations, they've really responded to the fact that I've been able to make them aware of the traps that they fall into when they engage on social media. And it's like anything. Most problems I get asked to solve in organisations are around communication.
Right.
So this person doesn't get on with that person, this team doesn't communicate with that team, the biggest mistake was there was a misunderstanding. And the same is true of social media. So I try and give some answers in the talk as to how you can prevent those misunderstandings happening, how you can communicate more effectively, how you can stop annoying people, how you can make people feel good when you connect with them, when you don't get the opportunity to see them face to face. Because we're inherently social creatures.
Yes.
That's why social media is so huge. Because we have this innate need to connect with other people. It doesn't matter whether you are 3,000 miles away or next door. We want that feeling that we're connected to someone else who is human.
And that list, I mean, you're absolutely right there. You say not only the distance involved, but sometimes I take a look at my friend list on Facebook and I think, who the heck are half these people? Because you get, oh, it's a friend of so-and-so's, all right, fine. And then suddenly you realise you've kind of been swapping, you've been liking each other's posts and things from afar. I have no idea really who you are. I don't know, you know, I've seen a picture of you. I have no real idea, and you certainly don't know much about me. But you could almost bump into a public, oh, you're so-and-so.
Yeah.
Someone I've never met.
And we have a limited capacity to the number of people that can be in that social circle.
Right.
We can't cope with very much. Really, our brains haven't evolved. And then this technology has come along expecting us to connect with thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. We're not able to do it. Our brains are really only ready to function on three fundamental levels: reproduction, food, and protecting our young. That's
right.
It.
Oh, God.
That's what we wake up needing to do. Survive.
Get through another day.
Exactly.
But
procreate and protect the things that we've created ourselves.
Right.
That's it. So when you understand that and you understand the psychology of our interactions with other people, and then you put into the mix this connection with anybody in the whole world, we just can't cope with it.
We can't. Is it that the likes of us, and I'm going to put myself as a slightly older generation to you, but is it that we...
That's very sweet of you. And he can see me.
And a couple of years. So I'm way ahead of you. But anyway, my point was, we kind of grew up in the old world, didn't we? Where you perhaps had pen pals was the most exotic it ever got.
Yep.
And you would swap letters once every couple of term or once a term with somebody when you were at school. I see a change in my own children about the way they make decisions, and it seems to be that you're not just your immediate social group, your family, your friends. Mm. You don't sit down with your parents and go, look, you know, I'm thinking of getting a tattoo.
Mm.
You go out to this enormous field of people who, in a lot of cases, have no link and don't care what they say to you. So they go, yeah, mate, yeah, you should have an eagle on your forehead.
Yeah.
and that's what they base the decision-making on now.
It's about social identity, Neil. They identify with those people, and they have access to them. So they don't have to talk to their parents. They don't have to limit themselves to their school friends or the people that are just around them. They can identify and have that social group with whoever they choose. And that, to a certain extent, is a great thing because it has widened people's horizons.
Mm.
And, I mean, obviously there's the downside, but I talk a lot about how to protect yourself from that and how to manage those interactions, because you can't control what other people do, but actually you can do a lot to protect yourself from what's out there.
And it's funny, my other half has very little to do with social media, and she says, I don't know how you can put just so much of your life out there online for other people just to have a good old pick at. And that is true. And it seems to work with, especially going back to what you were saying about talking to companies, people talk about a company's social media platform, but those employees are out there on their own accounts. And often nowadays, there's a blurring of lines, isn't there? Oh, you know, great party.
Yeah.
Some companies aren't going to want their staff portraying themselves that way.
Yep.
Then you get into work on Monday morning and you find what you thought was a nice, quiet, relaxed weekend, your boss has picked up on it. It's not in company line and you're actually in trouble for
it. Yeah, and that my talk is a lot about etiquette, social media etiquette, and how not to get in trouble with your friends, with people you work with, not just avoiding trouble, but... maybe that's from my past. I'm people who knew me at school knew me as a little bit of a troublemaker, but not, you know, not to a bad extent, and we won't labour on that too much. It's not just about avoiding trouble. It's about making sure that each time you do something online, it's useful, relevant, and it doesn't annoy someone else, and that you can actually do that. But the trouble is people don't engage their filter. And people don't engage their filter in general conversation. So when it comes to social media, they're less likely to, because they don't have the natural barriers in front of them to prevent them from saying the things they were going to say. They just say
it. Again, you know, yes, you're absolutely right. Sometimes, you know, I could be sitting there... Oh, sorry, I've just hit my microphone. You could be sitting there telling a story to somebody and you can see them going all wide-eyed and horrified. And you think, well, actually, I better back off, maybe not tell this.
But That's right.
Because it's a...
body language.
Yeah, but I'm sending you this message and you take it on board and you send me a message back or you like or dis... Or you make a comment in an open space, like a Facebook post, and someone else jumps in and goes, really? You think it's okay to feel like that? It is a very different game, isn't it, to sit in a room and chat?
It's a potentially unfiltered environment, which does go wrong sometimes, yeah.
And what about all the actual platforms themselves? Because they're always accused of you know, there's Facebook bullying and all this sort of things going on. Mm-hmm. There's only so much, presumably, they can do. They've got all these algorithms and teams of people there, sure, and there does seem to be an awful lot of money being thrown in an awful lot of places. But presumably, there is some of this. It falls back to personal responsibility for your actions, doesn't it?
Exactly. You cannot control other people's behaviour, and we can't control what the businesses are going to do and how they're going to earn money. We can only protect our own identity, our own selves online, and it's our responsibility to do that. Mm. And we have choices, and we can choose to engage in dysfunctional behaviour in real life and in a digital world as well. So the same rules apply. It's just people tend not to be that good at doing that online. They tend to feel that they have more, you know, they take advantage of it to a certain extent. And what I say in the talk, I think, helps people be more aware of that, potentially getting involved in dysfunctional stuff, but also making people aware that they have responsibility for what they do themselves.
So really, I'm guessing that the audience that's going to listen to this and go, this is great, is going to be people who've, as I say, perhaps have come from a more traditional background, the likes of me, who go, right, okay, I can see the dangers here, and this would be a really good talk to go to, because I think, but I'm worried that as a parent, for starters, already you struggle to get your kids to actually listen to you, because God, you're from when? When were you born?
Yes.
And actually to get the youngsters in, often they don't even perceive there's a problem, do they? It's not until it's too late they realise the road they've gone. Would you be encouraging a younger audience, do you think, than perhaps people might perceive?
I would. The title Winning at Modern Life is ironic. I don't claim to be winning at modern life myself. I think the millennials, anyone under 25, I will always consult about anything related to social media, because they are the experts. Mm. They have their finger on the pulse, and it's certainly not me. But all I know about is the psychological aspects of it, which young people don't necessarily get taught at school.
Right.
And from the last conference I did, which was a conference to a scientific audience, the younger members who were under 25 after the talk were saying they wish they'd heard it at school.
Wow.
So I'm not saying it's a school age thing, but certainly I'd like to publicise it to psychology students, people who are studying psychology, and any students who want to come and listen to a performance that's a TED talk.
Wow.
In that style, rather than, you know, thinking theatre, you have to go to the theatre to see comedy or a play.
Indeed, but it is a theatre performance that does include a trick. We'll come back to that in a second. It's on the 19th of February at Junction 2. Starts at 7:30, and tickets are available at £17 through the Junction website, junction.co.uk. If you'll stay with us, we'll just do the travel news, and we'll come up. We'll talk about this trick that you've got up your sleeve. My guest is Helen Morris-Brown.
Travel on Cambridge 105 Radio.
All right, it's 3:15. Just checking the situation out on the major routes. A14 eastbound, we've got an accident around Bar Hill, Junction 25. One lane is closed and queuing traffic. It's the near side lane that's closed with traffic heading towards Cambridge. That's the A14 eastbound. One lane closed with queuing traffic due to an accident at Junction 25, which is the new Bar Hill Junction. Other than that, earlier problems out on the A505 at Flint Cross. At the moment, that's eased up a bit. There's temporary traffic lights there causing some problems. So no other problems on the major routes in Cambridge or in Cambridge. At the moment, say in town, quite quiet this afternoon. On the trains, looking good at the moment at Cambridge North and Cambridge Main Station. Just checking the boards, everything appears to be arriving and departing on time. I'll have another travel update for you at 3:20.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
CKLG Accountants are a friendly team of accountants and tax advisors with big firm expertise.
I'm Lawrence, Director of CKLG, responsible for business services. We understand that running a successful business brings many challenges. Our experienced business services team provide a bespoke service and offer professional advice at every stage of your business journey, allowing you the freedom to focus more on what you do best.
To find out more, call us on Cambridge 810 100 to arrange an initial chat with one of our specialists, or visit our website cklg.co.uk.
CKLG Accountants, your partner in business, your partner in life.
Set in the quaint village that bears the same name, the Eldersley provides a slice of country refinement with a twist of contemporary creativity from Jamie, Lee and their team. To make a reservation, call 01480 880 308 or visit theeldersley.co.uk. Breakfast
with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
I changed my alarm tone.
Yeah, so what do you have?
I despised the one that would wake me up in 2019. Don't know why it took me like a year to figure out that I hate this so much. I've changed it for something much more mellow and calm, much nicer.
I kind of miss the ding-a-ling-a-ling bell thing going on, really.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling bell thing? The really extreme one that is in cartoons?
Yes!
Oh, no way.
The one that requires...
If that thing woke me up, I would have lobbed it against the wall and it would have smashed, and that would have been day one and its only day that it would have woken me up.
If it was a cartoon, there'd be a whole stack of them at the side of the wardrobe.
Back tomorrow from 7.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
My studio guest this afternoon is Helen Morris-Brown. Her Winning at Modern Life gig, it's a TED Talk style event, takes place at Junction 2. And before you go, on the 19th of Feb, before you go, when you messaged me, you said, oh, we'll do a trick. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's why I always get worried when people say they're going to do tricks.
Well, especially on radio, yeah, when people can't see it, that you have to pick the right trick. Well, in the show, I do some illusions.
Okay.
To demonstrate points, because there's a big connection between psychology and magic. Derren Brown has made an entire career on it.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's also entertaining and it's a bit of fun. And I thought today I might give an example of the kind of thing. This doesn't happen in Winning a Modern Life, but I just thought I'd give an example of the kind of thing you can do using social media and magic.
Okay.
So I've brought with me a pack of cards, and I'm going to describe this in detail because obviously people can't see, they can just hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, I'll chuck away the jokers, don't need that.
Yep.
You can see that's a regular pack of cards.
Looks normal to me.
Different.
Yeah.
They make them like that so you can tell them apart.
Is that right?
And I'm going
to... Should do the piers at the end of the summer season.
Not yet. I'm going to deal them down one by one, and hopefully they can hear this at home. Each card going down,
yep,
one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want me to stop, it's going to be your choice.
Okay.
You can choose a card. So you tell me when to stop while I'm dealing them, and I will do as I'm told. I promise you.
Stop.
Okay. Do you want the one I've just dealt or the one I'm about?
I'll have the one you've just dealt.
The one I've just dealt. Okay. I'm going to leave that there for you.
Okay.
This is the bit where it gets very nerve-wracking.
No pressure then.
Okay, so before I left the house today, I made a prediction.
All right.
And I used social media to publicise it. So if you open
your Twitter account,
you'll see that the last post I put up was a prediction for the card that you would pick. And as you can attest, we haven't met before. You just
Five hours ago on Twitter, you said, during my interview on Cambridge 105 Radio today, I think Neil Whiteside will choose the Six of Diamonds. Okay, that is just really, really stupid.
I mean, Tell the listeners what you've just turned over the Six of Diamonds,
and that is really... Okay, I'm not expecting... I'm just going to take a picture of this. Here we go. Hang on, let's just... I'm never very good at it. There it is. There, I will stick
that out.
Wow,
I'm so relieved. I'm so relieved.
That's crazy.
Such a long time ago. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, there's more of that. You can come and see.
You can have your card back now.
Thank you very much. You can come and see the show and you'll see, well, not that trick because that's good for radio. Okay. They can also see that the prediction was on my Instagram.
Oh, yes, hang on. Hang on. Let me take a picture of that too. I'll stick this out on the Cambridge 105 Twitter account.
So my Twitter handle is at hells underscore bells with three L's.
There you go. I've just taken a picture of that as well. We'll put that together. We'll put that out. So we'll put it out on the Cambridge 105 Twitter
account. And it's all date stamped on Instagram. I didn't tag you because I didn't want you to see it.
No, no.
And anyway, I didn't want to commit fully.
That is... Oh, that's done me in now. That's the rest of the afternoon. I'm just going to be sitting here a gibbering wreck. Well, there you are. Listen, Helen, it's been an absolute...
Thank you for playing along.
No, thank you.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, especially because you won. That was... Because I thought, I know what she's doing. She's doing it such... Da-da-da. No, I'm not. Because she's expecting... She's pausing. I'm going to do it when she does stop. And it's always a worry.
It's always a worry, Neil.
Crazy.
It's always a worry.
Crazy talk. There we go.
That was fun.
Helen Morris-Brown winning at Modern Life. She just won that one. It's on at Junction 2 on Wednesday the 19th of February. It starts at 7:30 and tickets are £17. You can get them through the Junction website, junction.co.uk. Just look for Winning at Modern Life. Helen, it's been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for coming
this afternoon. Thank you, Neil.
Stay in touch, because if we need a magician for any of our acts, we'll definitely get you in. There we are. That's Helen. Thank you very much indeed for coming
in.
We'll head towards the news with a bit of Mr. Mister. Here's Kiri on Cambridge 105.
Cambridge 105 Radio.